Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. Today, we're continuing our remaining three of a four-part series by George Barna on raising children to be spiritual champions. Raising children can be challenging and even overwhelming at times, but nothing in life compares in raising our children to know, love, and serve God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the target. This is the goal. But hitting the target doesn't mean that we as parents aim haphazardly or do not take the time to aim well and continue to evaluate if we are even coming close to hitting the target and raising our children to know and love and serve the Lord and become in Christ a spiritual champion. In this third session, George Barna lays down some clear markers, practical guidelines to help parents evaluate to see how they're doing in taking aim and raising their children to be spiritual champions for Christ. We hope you enjoy listening to George Barna, but are also greatly helped in your efforts as you seek to parent children and the future generations and point them to Christ.
But there were other things that they knew they needed to do as well. It wasn't just establishing and enforcing rules. It also had to do with guarding other aspects of their lifestyle. So we found that in addition to the non-negotiables, the idea of a curfew was critical. Establishing particular times when the children had to be home. And the reason that they did this, as they explained ad nauseum to their children, was to help the kids remain healthy and under control and safe. It was a way that they were trying to begin to establish appropriate habits and good decision-making practices in the minds and hearts of their children. And so the more that they were able to do that at a young age, the more likely that was to translate into their later life. This was part of the process of helping their children to develop self-discipline. And that's one of the keys to this whole endeavor. We found that it was not only enforcing a curfew, it also had to do with the friendships that their children made. What I find in our current research is that most parents really don't know much about the children that their own children hang out with, and they know even less about the families that those children come from. When I talk with the revolutionary parents, the thing that struck me was that they knew every parent of every child that their kids hung out with. Because their thinking was, if I know what the parent is like, I have a pretty good idea of what the child is going to be like. I know what kind of a home they're going to be in, what kind of an influence they're going to receive. And if I don't like what the parent stands for, I'm probably not going to find that their child is a good influence on my child. And kids do influence each other pretty significantly. And so that was important to them, that they get to know both the children and the parents of those children, and that they discuss this with their own kids, helping them to understand if they weren't allowed to play with somebody, if they weren't allowed to hang out with someone, why that was. Because that began to give them a very real-time understanding of the difference between a follower of God and a follower of the world. Again, not trying to judge the other person, but simply telling them that it's important that we have boundaries and that you play within those boundaries. The other thing that was critical about non-negotiables had to do with media. Now, I found this really interesting. There were essentially four things that I found that revolutionary parents did with the media that their children were allowed to be exposed to. And that was that, first of all, they monitored it. They knew what their kids were watching or listening to or reading, what it was that they were absorbing. Secondly, they minimized the amount of it. Quantity matters. And so they didn't let their kids, you know, the average kid in America today spends more than 8 hours a day with the mass media. You think about the impact of spending the greatest number of your waking hours absorbing messages from a media that is intent upon corrupting you. It's going to work. It is working. That's basically what the first session told us. And so what these parents did was they said, well, I'm going to minimize, not only will I know what they're absorbing, I'm going to minimize that. Thirdly, I'm going to moderate it. I'm going to know it so well that I'll be able to be conversant with my child. I'll be able to talk to him or her about what it is that they just saw, that they just heard, that they're, the stuff that they're being exposed to. And fourthly, they moralized it. And that has kind of a mean sound to it. But the idea of morality is determining right from wrong. And so the idea of moralizing media is helping the child to understand what are the messages about right or wrong that are being given to you. And then being able to translate that into a biblical perspective of whether or not that conforms to what we believe the Bible teaches us. And if it doesn't, there's a problem with that message, isn't it? And let's talk about what that problem is and what we should do about that. Now, if this sounds like an exhausting process, it is. Because it means, again, when we say this is a full-time endeavor, raising your children, you don't park them in front of the TV and say, good, I'll be back in a couple of hours. I got to go pay some bills. I got to make some calls. No, if they're parked in front of the TV for a couple hours, you need to know what it is that they're watching to be able to talk to them about that content. That's what makes this kind of thing a full-time job. A fun job? Not always. But it's critical. These parents set limits. They held to those limits. They discussed those limits with their kids. They wanted them to know why all their friends were playing various video games and those games weren't allowed in their house. They wanted them to understand why certain radio stations would never be played in their house or in their car. They wanted them to understand why there are certain movies that were making gazillions of dollars at the box office, but their family would never see. Those things were important for the kids to know because, again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to challenge their mind with truth. We're trying to get them to understand God's ways of seeing the world and conforming to it. Fourth dimension, this idea of behaving like a parent. What that meant was that, first of all, you've got to own the role. I will tell you from our research that most parents, when we ask them, how do you see yourself? If some alien from another planet came here and said, describe who you are to me, what would you tell them? And what we found is that the concept of being a parent usually came up in fourth, fifth, or sixth place with most people. This is not uppermost in their mind. They're a professional or an employee. There are all kinds of other things. Parent, four, five, six on the list. That's not going to raise a spiritual champion. We found that these were individuals who recognized that behaving like a parent meant that you needed to be able to control your temper. Kids take great pleasure at getting you upset. That's part of the goal of being a kid. Is seeing if you can set the parents off like a firecracker. And so the idea of behaving like a parent is that you understand this is coming, this is their goal, and if I do that, I lose my position, I lose my authority as the individual who's in charge. You have to be able to control yourself in the midst of what they do, which means you got to be careful about your language. There's a tendency to just spout off at them with a variety of words or emotions that you can never pull back. And so we've got to be careful with that. I found that a lot of these parents said, you know, it was important for me to learn that I had to figure out a different way of letting off steam. I couldn't let it out on my kids. No matter how upset they got me, I had to have a place or a thing, something that I could do apart from them that would allow me to let off steam. So for some of them, it was exercise. You know, there were a variety of things they came up with. But you've got to have that outlet. We found that these were individuals who, part of behaving like a parent was being able to articulate why you're doing what you're doing to the child. I've found over the course of time that this is controversial too. A lot of parents say, you don't need to understand my reason. I'm the parent. You do what I say. What I found is that revolutionary parents said, I want them to understand biblical thought. And so if what I'm doing is based on biblical principles, why wouldn't I want to lay that out for them and help them to understand why I came to this conclusion? I think it's imperative, they would say, that my children see my reasoning, that it's not just capricious thinking on my part, it's not spur-of-the-moment actions that I'm taking, but there is a logical, biblical connection to the choice that I've made about their choice. And that's why we're doing this. And so part of that also meant that they said the greatest single skill that they had to have as a parent was to be able to shut up and listen. That they didn't learn much when they heard themselves talking, but they learned a lot when they heard their child talking. Now, the reality is they also said it's not quite that easy because children are not very articulate. If you ask them why they did something, they generally don't know. They can't really give you the reason behind it. So what you have to do is listen very hard and listen around the words to try to inhabit what's going on in their head and heart at that time. And so that's a skill that has to be developed over time. And part of that process, they told me, was using clarifying speech, asking a lot of questions about what the child had just said. So when you say that, do you really mean that you did such and such because of such and such? I mean, being able to ask those questions that get at what the child perhaps cannot articulate. And often it's those questions that are the best challenging process that the parent had. A final thing that I would say related to behaving like a parent had to do with modeling appropriate behaviors. And so whether that was respect, showing respect for the child, whether it was being patient with them, whether it was demonstrating what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ, even in trying circumstances, whether it meant being a person who demonstrates love, all of those things were critical to being effective.
Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations. Next week, we will conclude this four-part series of George Barna's second teaching session on raising children to be spiritual champions. If you're interested in obtaining a DVD of George Barna's two complete sessions from our recent CEF Kids Matter Most conference with George Barna serving as our guest speaker, just contact us at either our CEF website at cefofillinois.com or give us a call at 309-688-9699, and we'd be glad to send you a DVD copy of the complete conference with George Barna for a gift of any amount. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Can children learn biblical truth in America's elementary schools?
We learn Bible stories and about Christians all over the world.
Right now, Child Evangelism Fellowship is taking Good News Clubs to our nation's elementary schools immediately after school.
It helped me, through things that I had never learned before.
Children learn the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's when I really start reading the Bible, and then I knew He was real and I wanted to obey His word.
Make this your ministry, or even that of your church.
It's really fun.
CEF has the training, tools, and staff dedicated to helping you reach children for Christ.
I believe in God, and I know that He's with me all the time.
Go to cefonline.com. That's cefonline.com.
To learn how you can be involved in an after-school Good News Club, call CEF of Illinois, 309-688-9699.